clerk will call the docket.
County of York, Allen against Anthony T. Peluso, James E. Barnett, County Attorney, City Council, Gina L. Checker, Scott L. Richley, City Council.
You may proceed.
May it please the court, my name is James Barnett. I'm the county attorney for York County. This is the second time that this case on these facts has come before this court. However, on a different question of law, the first time it came up through a board of zoning appeals on an appeal of an interpretation of the zoning ordinance by the zoning administrator. And ultimately, this court, on our appeal, upheld the zoning administrator's interpretation. Briefly, that for Mr. and Mrs. Bevuso, is actually Anthony Bevuso and Elisa Pyle, husband and wife, I'll refer to them simply as the Bevusos, operate an oyster aquaculture operation on their residential property in York Point subdivision in York County, a parcel which at times relevant was zoned RC Resource Conservation. Which, by the way, as a right, did allow both crop livestock farming and aquaculture as uses of right, subject, however, to Section 200B of the zoning ordinance, which said that you cannot have two principal uses on the same property if one of them is residential. And since they lived on this property, had lived on it previously, and still do, the zoning administrator said that section would be a complete prohibition to you having this operation on your residential property, unless there is another provision that allows you to be there as a residential accessory use, which actually was not one that was listed, or, as it turned out, a provision in 283D, which said that there could be the docking of work boats and offloading of seafood under certain conditions as a home occupation, but with a special use permit. Now, the initial case decided that that was an accurate interpretation and that a special use permit was required. That was true even though the zoning administrator admitted that by long-standing administrative interpretation that he inherited from his predecessor, land-based farms and houses had been allowed on the same parcel. But he drew a distinction here, and this court found that distinction not to be arbitrary, to be not arbitrary, and indicated that an overbroad interpretation of the ordinance, which it was, did not have to be extended to another kind of use. That was in record number 130143. A copy of that opinion was attached to the complaint for declaratory judgment, and therefore made a part of the record. It also recited some of the facts in this case, that these oysters are raised in part on the Bevuso's property up to a certain size in something he calls upwellers that draw water from nearby Chisholm Creek, another canal that they front on, until they reach a certain size, and they're placed in cages and then taken out into Chisholm Creek and raised there until they reach maturity. They are to a great degree worked by boats, a boat that he owns. The boat is shown in some photographs that were entered into evidence at trial. And then when they reach maturity, they're lifted up and they're brought back onto shore, and then he brings them in through his property and then takes them off to market. His property is also used for some storage of cages and some of the other marine equipment that he uses in connection with his aquaculture and that are used out on the shore. This question now before you today is not what the ordinance means, because now we know what the ordinance says, and you helped determine that. The question now, he challenges whether our ordinance is compliant with two particular provisions, sections of the Virginia Code. There's the Right to Farm Act, specifically section 322.301 is the section, and 15.2.2288, two almost identical sections. I don't know why the General Assembly felt the need to say it twice, but prohibits a requirement for a special use permit for production agriculture in an area that is zoned as an agricultural district or classification. And as we've interpreted the case, we think that the Bevusos need to prevail on each of three questions. One is, do the statutes apply to aquaculture? Neither one of them mentions any aquacultural activities or products. Is 200B a reasonable restriction on his practice? Both statutes allow minimum areas requirements, minimum setbacks, and other reasonable conditions, not specified, by the way. This, I believe, is a case of first impression for this court. And is the RC zoning district an agricultural zoning district or classification? And let me really address the first.
May I ask you briefly this question? What role, if any, do you think the 2014 amendment has to the definitional section of agricultural products?
I think it's critical, and in fact, it may be the real issue on which this case can turn, even though I think we are also correct on the other two points. The General Assembly in 2014 amended 15.2.22.88 to, for the first time, add a reference to aquaculture by having a cross-reference to 3.6400 and its definition of agricultural products, which includes a reference to aquaculture.
Did you finish?
If I may continue, the really relevant part of that, and ESOs have taken the position that merely clarified existing law, and that these statutes always incorporated aquaculture within their broad terminology. However, the enactment had within it a delayed effect. It was adopted in 2014, would ordinarily, of course, become effective in July 1, but the General Assembly said it would not become effective until January 1, 2015. And by that time, the county had rezoned this property to a purely residential zone, had adopted some performance standards for agriculture and aquaculture and similar activities for performance for minimal lot sizes, setbacks, and so forth, which counsel for the Bavusos at trial informed the court would render their activity unlawful unless it were grandfathered, considered lawful at the time it was initiated in 2010, and could continue as a lawful nonconforming use. Those comments are in your appendix, page 315, part of the trial transcript. Researching cases on delayed effective dates, I did not find a Virginia case, but I found four federal level cases. And all of them stated the rule that a delayed effective date is not necessarily an indication that there will be no retroactivity to a statute. However, in all four cases, the courts decided that on the facts before them, they were. And it's hard to imagine why else there would be a delayed effective date. Why, for example, if the General Assembly intended merely to clarify the law as it already existed, it would have need to say, but we are not going to make this statute effective until 6 months after it otherwise would be. I think the only reason that we can conclude why the General Assembly did that was to give localities time to react to this new inclusion of aquaculture within the statutes. Because the adoption of a zoning ordinance, because it has to go through both a planning commission and, of course, the public hearings before the local governing body, takes some time, not to mention time before that to prepare and to understand, to figure out what you want to do. I think that question alone says that these statutes did not apply to the activities of the Bavusos prior to January 1, 2015. Consequently, there was no prohibition on the requirement for a special use permit for their activities at the time that they were initiated.
So if the amendment is not declarative of existing law, that ends this case and actually narrows the opinion for us to not having to address hypotheticals.
I believe it does. I believe you can ignore the others if you decide that we are correct on this point. Now, I will point out that the Virginia General Assembly will from time to time adopt legislation in which they will include the formulaic phrase, this is declarative of existing law, but they did not do that in this. That may not be dispositive of the question, but I think that the delayed effective date is. I don't know how else to interpret it except to say that aquaculture is not included within these statutes until 2015. Now, why they did not also amend the Right to Farm Act with almost identical language, I don't know. I assume
when was aquaculture added to 303?
It actually never was. They have never gone back and made a parallel amendment to the Right to Farm Act.
Now, I'm looking at a copy of 3.2-303 defining agricultural products.
303. I didn't bring a copy of this because it's not a part of the Right to Farm Act.
Okay.
There are, by the way, and this was part of our argument, there had been a Virginia Attorney General's opinion with respect to the Right to Farm Act, 3.2301, which said that aquaculture was not included within its scope. And he focused on language that defined, I think, production agriculture, which referenced animals and fowl. And he said there was no need to reference fowl if animals was all inclusive of all kinds of animals. Therefore, the reference must be...
I'm sorry, counsel. 3.2 is the Right to Farm Act?
3.2, 301, 300, 301, and 302. 303 is outside the Right to Farm Act. I'm actually not sure what that addresses. But, however, it does allow me to point out that one of our arguments, different from the Attorney General's, was that these statutes never applied to aquaculture because... They never mentioned aquaculture, in contrast to numerous other statutes of limited applicability, I might point out, which do include terms such as agriculture or livestock or similar terms to include aquaculture or aquacultural products. That was never the case until January 1, 2015, with either of these statutes, and in fact only one of them now. I read the two statutes in pari materia, I suppose. You know, if they've amended one, they probably effectively amended the other, but that's a question for another day. I think they may get around to doing that one day. But there are, and I mentioned it in the brief, numerous other code sections that do, in fact, reference aquaculture. 3.2400, agricultural activity includes aquacultural activities, but that's limited by its terms to that chapter, which deals only with pollution control matters. 3.25900, livestock includes fish or shellfish and aquaculture facilities, but that definition is limited to that chapter, which is restricted to veterinary inspections, and there are other examples that I cited in my brief. So I'm assuming 3.2300 is it's just another example that perhaps I didn't pick up on. The secondary question, they have challenged 24.1200B as to whether it's a reasonable restriction on their activity. I point out that nothing in the statutes indicates that, in even assuming for argument that this is an agricultural zone, and I've argued in the brief that it is not, that you have to allow agricultural activities on every single parcel within that zoning district. It doesn't say that. In fact, by its own terms, some are going to be excluded if minimum lot sizes and minimum setback requirements are adopted. This, I think, is explained as simply a desire to separate residential from other uses. If you have a principal residential use on property, you are limited, as you determined, by the way, in the prior litigation, our ordinance says, then you must either be an accessory use or a home occupation. And the only one available to the VUSOs was that for docking work boats and offloading seafood, which is an integral part of their activities. But that required a special use permit, which was applied for and not obtained. I have a minute, almost 2 minutes. I'd like to reserve that for rebuttal, if I may, unless there are other questions.
All right.
Thank you.
May it please the court. My name is Gina Schecker, and I'm here today on behalf of the appellees, Anthony Babuso and Elise Pyle. I would like to get to the one issue that Justice brought up about the amendment to 15.2-2288. The county has made the argument that the amendment was a change in the law, therefore it's evidence that oyster farming or aquaculture was not included within the definition previous. We would submit, though, that that reasoning is flawed for the following reason. 15.2-2288 was amended to include the following words. For the purposes of this section, production agriculture and silviculture is the bona fide production of harvesting of agricultural products as defined in 3.2-301. 6400. Now, if you go to that section, it says, it defines agricultural products to mean any livestock, aquaculture, poultry, horticulture, floriculture, viticulture, silviculture, or any other farm crops. Now, by the county's logic, because these specific types of agriculture are now listed in the new definition, they would not have been included because they weren't identified in the previous version of 15.2-2288. So you would have to then make the logical assumption based on their argument that something as basic as horticulture was not envisioned in the original statute. And we would say that for that reason alone, their logic is flawed in this regard.
Why put in a delayed clause if you're just declaring existing law? That doesn't make sense.
Your Honor, I would submit that it would make sense because this was taking place during a time of controversy. Not only were the Bavuso's case in front of York County, but there was another case that was in front of York County that concerned a similar matter, oyster farming, Mr. Garrett. This was being debated. This particular piece of legislation, which was authored by Mr. Bavuso, and the county participated, obviously, in the debate about this particular legislation, the county requested the time for the delayed enactment. Now, there can be two conclusions that one can draw from them, but I don't think that the county's...
Is any of that in the record?
That I believe it's part of the introduction in the legislation found online.
I've just looked at your joint appendix. You cited in your brief, you cited this to pages 68 through 71. I've actually gone through to about 74, 75. I don't see anything that says that Mr. Bavuso authored the legislation and asked that it be introduced, or that the county asked for the a delayed effective date. The delayed effective date was added by the Senate Committee on Agriculture. So it wasn't there originally. And I'm, frankly, I'm not doubting the veracity of what you're saying. What I'm doubting is whether we are allowed to consider what you are saying if it's not in the record.
My apologies. I wasn't trying to go outside of the record. I was trying to answer the question. And I would submit, Your Honor, based on what you've just read, that the argument could be made either way, that a delayed effect to the legislation could just as easily be put into place because the county recognized that its existing ordinances were not in compliance with the law as it existed, that the clarification simply did exactly that. It clarified. Therefore, the county needed to go back and
allow them to make some responsive moves.
Correct. Okay. And they did, matter of fact, as Mr. Barnett just explained to the court. So we don't think that that argument is particularly persuasive. I understand that there's a debate about what information is available in the legislative history. We have cited to the part that was found online, which characterizes or introduces the amendment as a clarification. Given the limited amount of legislative history, we think that is particularly persuasive if it was introduced and characterized that way by the reporters for the General Assembly.
Now, one thing that's striking is that there are all these other provisions of the code that at the time expressly swept in aquaculture in the definition of agriculture activity, and this at least initially did not, and so the contrast is striking. And what weight should we give to that fact?
Your Honor, I would submit that those the changes in the clarifications in the law or the definitional sections in the law are a recognition within the Commonwealth of Virginia that agriculture encompasses a broad spectrum of types. And as definitions are introduced and enacted into law, I think that it's a recognition that we are looking way beyond just traditional forms of crop agriculture. For instance, there may not be any reference to hydroponics at this point. However, I think you'd be hard-pressed to win an argument against farmers at the farmers market that are growing under hydroponic measures that they're not producing agricultural products or are farming, it may not be in the traditional sense. So I would submit that the definitional sections and those pieces of the legislation that now include aquaculture are simply a recognition of the continuum of the various varieties that are included within the definition of agriculture. I'd like to address the point about the characterization and the zoning of the RC district. The Bavusos live on property that is zoned RC resource conservation, where agriculture farming is a by right permitted use. We think that that is important because that is the key to why the Right to Farm Act protections attach to the Bavusos operation as well as to the property. The language of the statute, the Right to Farm Act, as well as 15.2-2288, is broad, and it says that the locality shall not adopt any ordinance that requires that a special exception or special use permit be obtained for any production, agriculture, or silviculture activity in an area that is zoned as an agricultural district or classification. We would submit to you that the county's argument is because the district is not called agricultural district or an A1 or some the word agriculture in its name, that it's not considered an agricultural district or classification for the purposes of the statute. But we would submit that that would allow any county to make an end run around the protections of the Right to Farm Act by simply refusing to call a particular district agricultural. That the words of the statute have to mean something broader. At the trial, we introduced testimony by Eileen Carroll, a land use expert, and she testified to the fact that generally a district for the purposes of land use has to do with a geographic area, with boundaries, and that a characterization has to do with use. And we would submit, because the General Assembly used both words in this case, agricultural district or classification, that the intent was to be very broad. And we would submit that the RC district fits that characterization because agriculture is a by right permitted use. In that, once you get to that point, then, if you accept the fact that the RC district is an agricultural district or classification under the Right to Farm Act or under 15.2-2288, then the question has to become, did the county have the authority to pass the or to enact the legislation that is at issue in this case? We would take issue with the county's characterization of what is at issue or the arguments in this case. We are not making a reasonableness argument. We would submit that the county has not jumped through the first hoop through this that they're required to meet, and that is, does the county have the authority? And we would submit that under the Right to Farm Act, the county's authority to legislate in this area with respect to agricultural land is very limited, and the statute is specific. It says localities may adopt setback requirements, minimum area requirements, and other requirements that apply to land. The distinction we would submit is that setback requirements regulate where you can do certain things on your land, not the actual use. It's not prohibiting farming, but it's saying perhaps you cannot have your chicken coop next to or within so many feet of a boundary where there's a residential use on the next
parcel. Or your tall corn obscuring the stop sign or whatever.
Exactly, exactly. It's a very different thing, which the county has done here, in expressly prohibiting a use on land that is zoned agricultural. And we submit that 24.1-200B does exactly that. It prohibits the agricultural use on land that is zoned as agricultural. We would also submit that the county's, I think, very candid admission that it's not enforcing that particular provision with respect to traditional forms of farming, crop-based farming or livestock farming, is telling in this regard, that it acknowledges that it's without authority, therefore it's not enforcing it with respect to the traditional forms of farming.
Which is selective enforcement, maybe.
Perhaps, yes. And I think we're...
I mean, because you commonly have your farmhouse and then your fields, you know, within a stone's throw of where the farmhouse is. Whereas the oyster farming, as we just heard, it typically part of it is occurs on the premises and then you go out in the river and there's other parts of it.
Which I would submit perhaps would make it less of a risk of being a nuisance, perhaps on the land. So maybe there's even a less compelling reason to prohibit the residential use in conjunction with the, an oyster farming operation. We don't think that there's any doubt. We think that the record is very clear with respect to oyster farming being agricultural in this instance. There's good testimony in the record that oysters are animals and that they are cultivated in ways that we accept with respect to livestock, that they're grown from, in this case, a small seed and nurtured through the water and are grown, cultivated, and then harvested, just like any other crop would be. We also think that the Bavuso's operation satisfies the agricultural products definition, because it's clear that they are being harvested and brought to market and being sold for human consumption, not simply a hobby or something that they're doing on their property. That's not being a commercial venture to be actually sold for consumption. Council did not have an opportunity to address this, but we do address this in our brief as well. They've also taken issue, the county's also taken issue about the courts not being persuaded by the comprehensive plan and what's said in the county's comprehensive plan as to the intent of the RC district. We would submit that the comprehensive plan isn't law, it's not persuasive, the court's not bound by any of that. It's generally a forward-looking document, and it also has nothing to do with whether the residents and the citizens of York County that are on agricultural land, land that is zoned agricultural by right, should be afforded the protections of the Right to Farm Act and the protections afforded under 15.2-2288. Unless the court has any other questions for me, I'll conclude my argument. Thank you very much. We ask that the decision be affirmed.
Rebuttal, you have 1 minute and 42 seconds.
Counsel, does the record, 625 pages, anywhere reflect that Mr. Bavuso was the drafter of or the requester of the legislation, and even more particularly, I want to ask, did the county ask for the delayed effective date, but I probably properly should ask, does the record reflect that
the record does not reflect it.
Okay.
I can tell you what happened, but it's not in the record.
Okay.
Let me address a couple of things very quickly. I know my time is limited. 200B does apply to land. It says that if your land is used for your principal residence, it can't be used for another principal zoning use, one defined as such in the code. This court looked at that. And as to the distinction, by the way, between land-based farms and the Bavuso oyster aquaculture operation, where these oysters are raised primarily offshore, this court said in the prior prior litigation, I'm reading from this court's opinion, that the zoning administrator was not arbitrary in prohibiting commercial oyster farming, and that even assuming that the administrator has been inconsistent, no authority in Virginia indicating that an overbroad interpretation necessitates the same overbroad interpretation with respect to a different land use.
Yeah, but that was in the abstract, of course. We weren't looking at 15.2-2288.
That's true. But so, on the other hand,
the question I have for you on this subject is, it seems like the way it works, whether it's intended to be this way or not, it seems like the way it works is it's an indirect way of doing what you can't do by statute directly. It just looks that way. It has the effect of being that. Isn't that darn close to violating the legislative intent if, in fact, the statute were to apply?
I'm about ready to run out of
time. No. You're out of time, but you can answer any question that's pending.
Thank you very much. First of all, we don't think the statutes apply.
Right.
Secondly, if they are correct that 283D, the special use permit opportunity, is removed, then they've removed the only option they have under the old ordinances to do the activity that they want to pursue. They simply have a prohibition on having this activity on the same property as their principal residence. And there is no end run around anything. It just says you've got to find a vacant piece of property or a property properly zoned that doesn't have your house on it or somebody else's house.
Fair enough. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Call the next case.